quenching shear here in the morning Seder program here. Here we have my guinea pigs for my Shabbos afternoon shear. You're welcome to come to it tomorrow also. Now that you know, how the sausage is made. I guess you didn't really see me make the shear, but some of the background here. But having a davening, to daven next to a kever. How many people have done this? Daven next to a kever. All right, don't be afraid. I've done it too. Okay. The question is not whether you can. The question is, well, I guess maybe it is, but the question is how you can. And I don't just mean like, how can you, like, as a rhetorical question. I mean, like, how can you? So a lot of this is actually sourced back to none other than Kalev. The pasuk tells us in this week's parsha, Vayalu vayasuru asaret. Notice how the verbs vayalu vayasuru are in what form? In the plural. They went up and they toured the land of Israel. Mimartin adrachov laval chamas. So they went up to Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean go up to Eretz Yisrael? Presumably they're going up in spirituality, but not everybody does. Vayalu banegev. I love that phrase. Vayalu banegev. They went up to the south. Right now, that doesn't make any sense. But back then, Vayalu banegev means like you go up to Eretz Yisrael. You're going up in holiness, whatever. Vayalu banegev, or maybe they went up to a mountain or something. They went up to the south. Vayavo ad Hebron. Wait a second. Vayavo, that's in the singular. Clearly, somebody's going to Hebron without anybody else. Why would he do that? Says the Gemara in Sota. Vayalu banegev, vayavo ad Hebron, vayavo mi vayalei. Should say, they went. Rashi quotes part of this in his commentary to the Chumash. Amarava, malame shepirish kalev me'atas miraglim v'halach minishtateach al kivrei avos. What does minishtateach mean? Basically means to daven, but I think it actually means to just like sprawled himself out on the ground. Yeah. Oh, is that what he says? But, so Kalev left. Why didn't the other miraglim go? Are they opposed to the avos? They don't like Kibre Tzadikim? Maybe they're more machmer than Kalev. Why didn't the Rambam go? There are different possibilities.
Yeshua already had Moshe Rabbeinu.
Well, that's the next part. But what are the 10 other people? Okay, fine, you got Yeshua. And then Kalev wasn't supposed to do that.
They thought that they didn't need Tfilos.
Okay, that's good. Well, first of all,
they have bad intentions from before.
So it could be that they have bad intentions from before. This is tough. This is my kasha on the parsha. What, last year, maybe 2 years ago?
There was no point of them going. Why would they go? They're like, they know what they're going to do.
Okay, so that's the same type of thing. They have a preconceived notion about what they're going to do. So this is a machlokas, whether or not they already knew from the beginning that they were going to mess things up. Unclear, but. But there are those who say that no, it actually came later. There's a whole like midrashic contradiction as to whether or not they were anashim when they were sent off. Right, so the word that anashim means anashim chashuvim. Can't remember the whole kasha, but we talked about it. So some explain that maybe they were already seeing giants and they were already afraid, and Kalev wasn't afraid to go through the giants. He was willing to go for davening to see Kibre Avos. He was willing to go even at the risk of his own life. Others say that that even though it says Kalev went to the Avos, it was really only that he was the only one considered, that he's the only one that the Torah considers to have gone to the Avos. Because when he went to the Avos, he davened properly and they were going to grant him protection properly, as opposed to the other miraglim went with him. But they did not have the same level of success when they davened because they didn't really mean it. That's what some people say. Either way, so Kalev says the very, very, perhaps the most difficult words in this whole sugya. Bikshu alai rachamim. He says, Avosai, my forefathers, request for me mercy. She'anatel me'atas meraglim, so that I shall be saved from the atas meraglim, the guidance of and with the other spies. Yehoshua, kvar bigesh, mashallah, racham, mishnah, ravach, vayikrai, mashallah, Yehoshua, benun Yehoshua, Hoshea, benun Yehoshua, ka Yoshiacha. He put that yud in front to make it a more explicit reference to Hashem, that Hashem should save you. What's weird about that? What's weird about that phrase? Moshe Rabbeinu made his name Yehoshua. Are you telling me that his name was Hoshea until now? We've seen Yehoshua plenty of times, and his name's always been Yehoshua. So what does that mean? I don't know. Maybe it's not literally he gave him his name, but rather he infused this meaning that the Gemara is saying into his name. I don't know. When it references the Kalev later, it says before he was given this extra spirit. What does that mean? Extra spirit, extra protection from the avos when he's davening by them. So this implies that you can certainly daven by kivur avos, and you can certainly ask them explicitly to do something for you. The Sefer HaChassidim, who is not one to shy away from controversial opinions, am I familiar with the Sefer HaChassidim? Somewhat of a controversial sefer. He's got a lot of heebie-jeebie stuff. Some of that would cost him, like, you know, the halacha not to give aliyahs to brothers right next to each other, or brother and father. That's from the Sefer HaChassidim. Ever heard of the halacha to not renovate your house and close up a window? Heard that one? And you renovate, you know that. There's a demon, so that's the Sefer HaChassidim. That if you renovate a house and you plaster over a window, you should keep that opening open somehow. You should poke a hole into the wall or something. Don't close it off entirely, because otherwise the shadim are going to want to get in, or they're already stuck in and they can't get out the normal way. That's what he says. Whether or not it applies to modern housing, I'm not sure. Because back then a window meant literally a hole in the wall.
What? They go through the door.
You go through the door, go to other places. Well, he could have figured that out.
Never close your window.
Right, so what does it mean to have a window? What does it mean to close a window? Back then, they didn't have air conditioning, so they didn't need to close their windows. It's just whatever the temperature was, it's going to be what it's going to be. So you're not going to gain anything by closing and opening window. Yeah, we have for privacy, you have windows, but not for constant blockage. So it could be, I don't know. It's not our topic for today. Either way, Sefer HaChassidim has a lot of these interesting phrases. Sefer HaChassidim also talks about, like, flogging yourself and torturing yourself for tshuva, stuff like that. Sefer HaChassidim is not Chassidim, by the way. Early Rishon. He's an early Rishon. I don't know if he's an early Rishon. He's a Rishon. But Margolis is not his name. That's the publisher. So what does he say? Yesh lameisim she'o haveihem. There is to the deceased that their beloved ones, holchem al kivrehem, their beloved ones go to their kever, umevachshem al nishmasan tova, and they ask on their behalf something good, umativen lehem ba'os to'olam. And the deceased can do good for them in this world, in the same world, or in their world. And similarly, when they request from them, they daven on their behalf. How do we know? Because Kalev did it. So it seems like it's pretty clear you're allowed to do this. Sources number 2 and 3 seem to indicate that. The Gemara in Tanis tells us that as part of the process of a fast day and trying to do tshuva for a fast day. What else did they do? I don't remember the Gemara Tanis. Ethan's not here, but he said he learned it. Aaron, you said you learned it. What else did they do?
For the fast.
For the fast.
In rain?
Yeah, when they didn't have rain, they had to.
They had to go to the city and put ashes on their head.
What else? They brought the Aron out to the street. They fasted. They had a whole different process of davening. That was, there is a certain precedent of who gets to daven first. What do you say?
Good.
So one of those things is to go out to Beis HaKvaros. So why did they go to Beis HaKvaros? So this is a fundamental machlokas in our sugya. Because the Gemara says that there's a machlokas Rabbi Levi, Bar Chama, and Rabbi Chanina. Chad amar hare anu, what would you do? Anu chashuvin lefanecha kemesim. We are to you. Who's lefanecha?
Hashem.
Right? We're not talking to the dead bodies. Hashuvin lefanecha kemesim. Hashem, we're like the old people here. We're done for. We're nothing. We're low life. We're no life. Right? We're worthless. And we're trying to do tshuva. The chad amar, and the other opinion, either Rabbi Levi or Rabbi Chanina, says, we're here at the Beis HaKvaros so that the deceased will daven for us. Now, what does it not say in that phrase? We don't ask them to do that. It's going to be very important for the Maharam Shik later. We don't ask them, but Kidei Shivach Shaleinu Meisim Rachamim. Why is that interesting? Because if you look at the order I believe, of that Mishnah and Tanis. So it actually says that they davened and then they went to the Beis HaKvaros. That means they're done davening. So it sounds like. If you look at Rashi, so the Gemara says, "My benayu, ik benayu kivrei nachrim." The difference is whether or not you have Jewish graves to go to. If you had a Jewish grave, so then even both opinions would say you should go daven. You should have them. You should go to the Beis HaKvaros, either because you're trying to be inspired with the approach of, you know, this is what life is all about, and you know, we're ultimately going to die anyway, or we're ultimately going to die. We should make the most of it, and we should do tshuva, etc. Or because they can daven for you. And therefore, you should go to the Jewish cemetery. If, however, you only have a non-Jewish cemetery, so then who's going to daven for you? They don't know how to daven. I mean, they do their own thing. Clearly not the way that we want them to daven for us, right? So when it comes to this, so there's big machlokas, big nafkamina as to which opinion we hold of. If we hold of the opinion that that we want them to daven for us, so then it might be justified that Kalev would ask the Avos to daven for him, because clearly the Gemara says that they would still do it. And if we say that the whole point is our perspective, it's trying to guide us in terms of having the right approach to doing tshuva by saying that we're like Mason, we're like dead, so then it would not necessarily teach us anything about whether we can daven or rely on the deceased's davening. So says Rashi, that's what exactly what he says, "L'vakish rachman filas van leka kol shekein aleinu." They can't even daven for themselves. How are they going to daven for us? Okay. We have a Yerushalmi, however, that tells us explicitly about Kadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. Before this, Yerushalmi talked about how if you're in a difficulty and you have to beseech a person, so what do? You send in your messenger, you send in your agent, and say, so-and-so's got to talk to you, got something to talk about. But for Hashem, it's not like that. About Kadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein, Im Baal Adam Tzara Lo Yitzavach. What's Yitzavach? You don't cry out. Lo yitzavach, lo l'micha, v'lo l'gavriel. Don't talk to malachim. Ela li yitzavach, v'ani onel lo miyad. You have a direct line to Hashem, and you should use it. Don't use the indirect line. That's the Gemara. That's Chazal. So this Yerushalmi seems to be at explicit odds with what Kalev did, and perhaps even with what they did in the Gemara in Tanis. Yerushalmi. Yeah, way after. Well, he's got the Bavli. Right? He has Kalev if it did it. And Sefer HaChassidim used Kalev as his proof. So it seems like there's a machlokas between Mamar and Chazal, or even the Chazal and Kalev. So what does the Rambam tell us in the Yesod HaChamishi, the fifth of the 13 tenets of belief? A few months ago, I had this Christian, I forgot what they're called. They're like rabbinic training, but not rabbis, obviously. Whatever they had. Like, they're training their, I don't know, they're women, so I can't, those, I feel like those are for men. I don't know, some kind of,
Reverend could be for women.
Yeah? Okay, maybe you know better than me. I don't know. Is it a reverend? Her name, she, yeah. Is a reverend? Okay. So maybe
I don't know if it's like traditional.
Okay, I don't know. So maybe this is a reverend school. I don't know. But they call me up and say, "Rabbi, we want to talk to you about what is Judaism belief." So I said, "Okay, you know, as long as we don't get into any God talk, so then it's fine. I'm not interested in talking philosophy. You want to talk to me about what Judaism does? Fine." So we get on Zoom. It's like me and three other ladies, and they say to me, "Okay, Rabbi, we're looking at the Rambam's 13th tenets of faith." I'm like, "Oh no, this is exactly what I didn't want to get into." And they talked about God, and they talked about, what does it mean that there can't be another God? This is exactly what I told you not to talk about. Anyway, so I skirted around it enough. But either way, these are the tenets of our faith, and they should not be debated. We have to believe in them, and at least according to the Rambam, if you don't believe them, you're considered a kofer. You're considered a heretic. Sometimes people struggle with them. That doesn't mean you're not believing them. That means you're struggling. You're allowed to struggle in Judaism. You're just not allowed to deny beliefs. So the Rambam tells us in the fifth of these beliefs, the Rambam says, "Shehu yisaleh hu asher ra'el avdol ramol farsim gidlaso mashmaso." You have to believe in Hashem and directly talk about Hashem and publicize Hashem and celebrate Hashem. Ve'ein osin kein l'masha l'matza mimenu. And you should not do anything in the same vein for anything which is beneath him. Anything which is beneath him. This is not literally referring to the sky. But it's referring to anything beneath him in significance, in godliness. Meaning v'misiyos min ha-malachim, anything in existence. Whether it's the angels, the stars, the cycle, what's it called?
Reincarnation.
So that's Gilgulim. This is a Gilgulim. Gilgulim is, what's it called? New, the zodiac? What's that called? The constellation. Constellations. I'm looking for constellations. If you were thinking constellations, you win. Gilgulim. Vayasodos, I don't know what that means. The Chomash, the Horkav Mehen. Anything which is grafted on to their being. Lefi shekulam mut ba'im v'pu'ulos dayan. What's a mut ba'im? It's a weird word, or it's a very unique word, I should say. Mut ba'im is they were given the nature of what they do, meaning Hashem told them, it was embedded within them how they act. Ein lehem shilton, they don't have any control over anything. V'lo b'chira, they don't have any choice. El ritzono yisala, all they do is exactly what Hashem wants them to do. And sometimes it comes up in the Chumash, like, wait a second, didn't this thing do that thing? And, you know, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah learned from the frogs. You know that Gemara? Is that Gemara? Gemara in Shabbos. It's in a couple places. It might be in Pesachim also. They jump in the furnace. What did they learn from him? That if the frogs, who don't get any schar for what they do, nonetheless listen to what Hashem says, so we all the more so, something like that. The obvious kasha that is, wait a second, the frogs aren't doing it because they decided to do it. They did it because Hashem told them to do it. So that's the difference. So obviously, when we have those types of agadas, when we have those types of stories, they're there for us to learn from them, not necessarily to ask theological questions on them. Not literally because of them making a decision, but we should learn from them. Not only should you not give them credence in terms of the ability to do anything, but also in terms of not being a mediator, not to be the intermediary of us and Hashem. This, by the way, could be exactly what the Jewish people's problem was at the Egel Azav. What did the Jewish people say to Aaron? Asei lanu Elohim, make for us a God, lowercase g. Why? Ki zeh Moshe ha'ish lo yadanu mehayelo. Because this Moshe person, we don't know what happened. What do you mean Moshe person? You just asked for a God. Why, what does Moshe have to do with asking for a God? Even if Moshe was here, would you not ask for a God? So Elamai, what they wanted was not a God, but what they wanted was another Moshe Rabbeinu, which is in itself a type of God. Someone who they believe can talk directly to Hashem without them, and without whom they couldn't talk to Hashem. So Moshe, they looked at Moshe that way too, which is a problem. I gave a drush about this last week, about how the Jewish people still looked at Moshe Rabbeinu as the only one that could do anything, and the Jewish people had to buy in themselves. But the point is that even as an intermediary, even if you don't think that they're God themselves, but rather just the conduit to God, so that also is a problem. Ela kalapav yisala yichavnu. I've also spoken in the past, by the way. I remember, and just by Kolel, who's going to Zeb Zaykola? One, two. There's some other people going to Yisrael. Hopefully he comes to Seder. Who? Arishon, that's right.
And
Benny, that's right. Okay, good. It's a good group. So I remember I was at NCS by Kolaz Madrich, and they had a Q&A with one of the rabbis. I don't remember which rabbi it was. I don't remember. Actually, I think I might know who it was. It doesn't matter. And they asked him, what's the worst avera in the Torah? What's the worst thing? It's a very teenager question, you know? What's the worst thing? You can give it to me. So he said, so someone else said, Avodah Zarah. You know, makes sense. And then this rabbi said, the worst thing you can do is not believe in yourself. Okay. I don't see that in the Torah anywhere. So I gave a drasha a few years after that. I gave a drasha when I was a rabbinic intern somewhere, and I said, the truth is that the two aren't very far off. Because when the Jewish people say to Aaron, we need a Moshe Rabbeinu, so why do they feel like they needed a Moshe Rabbeinu? Because they felt they couldn't talk directly to Hashem. Who are we to talk directly to Hashem? We need an intermediary. Make us an Egel Azar so we can talk to him and they'll talk to Hashem. So in some ways, and I think this is implicit in Ibn Ezra at the end of Parshat Yitro, in some ways, this aspect of Avodah Zarah is itself a lack of belief in yourself. When we say you don't use an intermediary, what it means is you are good enough to talk to Hashem. You really have to believe that also. Okay? So that's the Rambam. The Rambam says you can't have an intermediary. That seems to be taking sides in the discussion by the Talmud Yerushalmi. Seems like it's possible Yerushalmi. You can't talk to Malachim. You have to talk directly to Hashem. And because of that, you would expect that when it comes to the Gemara and Tanis, so the Rambam would not side with the opinion that says we go to the Beis HaKavaros, they don't go to the cemetery, Kidei Shiv Akshalim Meisim Rachamim, not so that they can daven for us, but rather in order to create that perspective, right, to calibrate the way we look at our lives and our mortality, and therefore do tshuva. And that's exactly what he does in source number 8. The Rambam tells us in Hilchot Taniyos, Sheva Taniyos Ha'eluf Komach, this is the third set. For those who remember, you know, the Bahab sets, and then you have the Shiva afterwards to get rain. Komach Moshigoz Rinosam Sham, Achar Shem Ispa'alin, after you daven. Yosin Kol Ha'am Veis HaKavaros Bochim Nuskhanim Sham, they daven and they cry and they daven there. Koloma Hare Atem Mesim Ki'ilu Im Lo, right, you are the dead, the people in front of us. And if it wasn't the case, ki'ilu im lo tashuvu midarcheichem, you will be also dead if you don't do tshuva. Shulchan Aruch passes in the same way. You are, meaning someone declares to the people, the Jewish people, you are like dead people. Im lo tashuvu midarcheichem. And says the Ramah, Lufiza im ein kibri Yisrael hochem al kibri kusim. And therefore, as the Gemara in Tanis explained itself, if you do not have any Jewish graves to go to, so then you should go to non-Jewish graves just as well. It's the same thing, because it's not for the sake of them davening for you. So there you have it. Again, the Rambam, and then the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like the Rambam, that we Paskin like the first opinion in the Gemara in Tanis, that you should not ask the deceased to daven for you. That doesn't mean you can never, it just means that's what he passes you should do. But it does imply that you shouldn't. Says the Berhetev, this is in the halachas about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, there's a minhag to go before Rosh Hashanah to Kivri Avos, to go daven in a cemetery, again for the same time, but the same for tshuva. Says Berhetev, however, the Beis HaKavaros Makam Menucha HaTzadikim U'mitoch Kach U'makam Kadosh B'Tzahor. It's a holy place. It's a pure place, v'atfilin eskabliyos there, and the davening is more accepted in such a holy place, just like you daven in a shul, it's more accepted. V'hamispalel al kivri ha-tzadikim, however, those who daven upon the kevers of tzadikim, al yasim magamato neged hamesim, you should not set your target or your desires towards the actual deceased. Rather, you should ask something from Hashem that He should give you rachamim in the merit of the tzaddikim that you're standing around. It's always good to have a tangible recognition of what you're davening about, even if it's not what you're davening to. What, by the way, is another permutation of the Rambam's fifth yisod, that you shouldn't daven towards anything else. And when you go to Kiddush Levana on Motzei Shabbos, you're not supposed to face the moon. Don't face the moon. That's Asur Midaraisa. You can't face the moon when you daven Kiddush Levana. You should daven to Hashem. Whatever direction is east, you should daven like you always. You go out to look at the moon to understand what you're davening about. You don't daven to the moon. That would be Avodah Zarah. Some people just assume, well, it's also natural. You're going to see the moon and then you just continue seeing the moon. You also shouldn't look at the moon so often. Yeah. That is something else. That has to do more with, like, where is Shabbos entering the room from? I remember I had the same place, actually, in Riverdale. I had another rabbinic intern that worked with me, and we had this whole series of shirim that we were giving on Friday nights about different, like, Shabbos menhagim. And he was talking about Lichadodi. And he wasn't even making a joke, but he said at Bo'i V'Shalom, you know, people face a different direction, and there are four options. People thought that was hilarious. Because he thought that he meant like four directions. That's not what he meant. There are four options. There are four different opinions about where you should face for Bo'i V'Shalom. I don't remember all of them. But one is west, one is the door. Which is, there's not something for our shul. The way we get into shul is actually from the south. We have the doors on the south side. So the question is, should you pay face the back wall or should you face the doors? I face on an angle, if anyone's ever looking at me. But try to be kind both. What?
Now I will.
Now you will? Yeah, no, somebody, it depends. It depends. It would be weird. It would be weird. I think Rav Soloveitchik should face the door. It would be weird if you, if I've had some, I've been in some shuls where the door is at the front of the shul. So you moms don't change direction at all. You just
only one in the middle.
Stay there. You just bow and you bow again.
What if you have like more than one door? What if you have three doors? You just face whatever you want?
I don't know. If there's a main one, face the main one. If there's a non-main one, so face the west wall. Yeah, I don't know.
You shall sneak into the window. Face the window.
We come full circle here with the windows. Okay.
Wait, there's a door right there.
That one would work. Okay. So that's the Be'er Heitev. The Be'er Heitev says you can't daven to the tzaddikim. You can daven through the zchus of the tzaddikim. You're hoping that you can use the zchus. I think that's probably the most conventional way people think about kiveri tzaddikim. That you go to the kever, you're not, well, I don't know about conventional. But in our community, I think that's the most conventional understanding, that you're going there and you're davening hopefully that the zechuyos of the tzaddikim can help you out. But not that you're davening to the tzaddikim. The Bach tells us a similar idea when it comes from a Rav Chaim Paltiel. I'm not sure who this is. Al hanodrim leilach v'leilach v'kvaros. So the people that give money and say, I'm going to daven at the Beis HaKvaros. You can imagine people doing that. Let's say it's far away, the Bach. And people know where the Bach is buried. Where is the Bach, Beis HaKvaros? Good. Where? Right next to the Rama, I think. I think he's in the Krakow Cemetery, isn't he? I think he's there. The Bach and the Taz. He's next. Well, the Nativ is in Warsaw. That's in the big cemetery. I mean, it's in Poland. Rav Chaim is buried with the Nativ because they were father-in-law, son-in-law. I'm a legendary, but. I believe the Bach is buried next to the Taz, who was his father-in-law. I always forget who the Bach, I think it was the father-in-law. The Taz was the father-in-law. I can't remember. Anyway, but yeah, I think they're both buried next to each other in the Ramah Cemetery. Very small cemetery, but I think they're together. Either way, so that's where his kever is. And you would think that there are some times that you have a kever, especially today, you have kvarim that are way outside of the community. And you can imagine without a car, without some kind of train, it would be hard to get to that kever. But you want somebody to go daven at that kever for you on your behalf. So you give them money, and you say, okay, go daven for me at my father's kever, something like that. So this is what I would think he's talking about. It seems like you are Dorish Alamesim. Dorish Alamesim is actually an Avodah Zarah thing. That the Torah talks about sort of asking the dead for the future or for things, whatever. So it looks a little bit like you're doing that. The Kalosh Nishnach Kever Avos. He spells with shame. He davens to Hashem v'makom kedusha. Kedei shetiyei tiyason nishmas. So that's a big chiddush because the way that the Mezhur says it is not like that. The way the Gemara says it doesn't sound like that. Vichol Arachim doesn't sound like I'm davening to Hashem. But either way, that's how the Bach interprets it. It was Alma Shamakum Gorin, meaning that it's the place that's particularly significant that's going to help you daven. Inam Misha Biza Samesu Khvoda Mishatech Kivra Kvaro Zemasinu. I don't know, Biza Samesu, you're sort of disgracing the dead. I don't know what it means. Ach Nashim Ne Adam Shana Yodin the Lo Yadati Ali Hasan Lama. I don't know why the women and children are coming, they don't know what they're doing. I tell them, I'm sorry, I'm getting rid of this neder. So you don't have to go. And give whatever you would have given to get there, give it to tzedakah. That the Bach quotes from this Rav Chaim Paltiel, that he stopped you from going to the kvarim. So we stop doing this. Miu, says the Bach, kvar hechziku bin hagzeh. This is an establishment of V'ein Mocha. You shouldn't close it. V'yesh l'zeh smach z'ivra z'or. V'dav g'zeh k'ivra el z'zvah l'spon of Yisparach al kol tzara shalot tabla v'zchot tabot v'in k'varim po. V'yot v'zeh. As long as what you're doing is davening to Hashem, l'fon of Yisparach, and you just happen to be in a basic varos. V'yot v'zeh. K'var niskenu sidra es fila v'nishtach k'ma k'ivra avos. And there are already prayers that people say when they're at k'ivra avos. Ve'en l'shemora l'mnoa l'vasa minazeh. And no teacher should try to prevent this minhag from happening. You should not tell people not to do it anymore. Rav Chaim Palfiel did, but okay. At least according to the Bach, you shouldn't stop people anymore. Says the Bach, it doesn't seem like this is proper, but let him do it. That's what the Bach says. And what does the Maharal say? You know this one? This is in Tzlichos. You say to the Malach Rachamim, right? Machnis Rachamim is referring to angels. Whoever it is, that they would bring the davening of the Jewish people to Hashem. Says Maharal, this is not appropriate. And when it says in the Gemara Tanis that there is an opinion that they would go for the sake of the davening of the dead body, of the deceased, for the davening of the deceased on their behalf, it's not that we're literally asking them, but rather that naturally when we're there, they will daven for us. Even though maybe it's possible you could say that somebody else, you go to a tzaddik and say, hey, can you daven for me? So then maybe that's okay. That's because they can do a chesed. You can ask them to do something and they can practically do it. They have bechira chavshis to do such a thing. You can't do that. If you say it to a malach who doesn't have the ability to choose what he wants, what you're really saying is, do this for me so that things get done. As opposed to asking Hashem. Some people say, machnis rachm is not a bakash, but rather just a description of what's happening. It's not that you're asking them for a change, but rather that you're asking them to take the davening that you're making, the davening that you have, and asking them to bring it to Hashem. That's not a tefillah. You just ask them to do their job. You're saying, Malachim, please do your job. That's not a tefillah. Even so, says the Maharal, you should not say Malachim Sirachim, at least not in the text. He goes on to explain that maybe you should change the text. That it's not that you shall bring it in, but you do bring it in. Just explaining what happens. I think it says "machnisu rachmim yachnisu" as opposed to "hachnisu," which is a directive. Yachnisu is you will bring it in, so it's more of a statement than a request. The Maharam Shik was a student of the Chassam Sofer who was against going to Klaras in this way. This is a better source for one of these than I'm not. There's a shach that says things more explicitly. I'll have to find it. Either the Maharam Shik says. Shorish davar zehu, devada kim lula chachaminu zechron levracha amesim mistarim b'tar chayim, that the people should be in pain when they're alive. Going to dark as hell. Apostle Vayirei lo no lava. Sainik moshi yivu masim azeh reish perik meishem esu v'hainu she nishamos amesim yozim meolam hazeh mashen asibo. The deceased know what's going on in this world. V'im ein anu masing yodim alzeh derechu mikomakam emes v'yatsiv kedivrei chazal. Even though we don't understand that, we can't comprehend what that means. Nonetheless, Chazal is true. If people go to the Kibre Meisim to daven, they're not going to have any salvation unless Hashem helps them. Surely the deceased will also be in pain. If they have enough merit, that they're not befitting to be in pain also, then Hashem is going to have mercy on the deceased. Because of their merit. Therefore, you can also understand why it's okay to ask somebody else to daven for you. When the tzaddik is pained by it, so that Hashem is going to have rachmim on the tzaddik and change the reality. If it comes upon a person who's not befitting of punishment, then it's better that Hashem foregoes the din and brings rachman. I guess that means the Hakeda Tzitzchuk. I don't know. Abakash is Yehuda meis Yosef avor Binyamin. That Yehuda is asking from Yosef for the sake of Binyamin. In terms of, I guess, if Yosef is in pain, he's going to change things. that if there are tzaddikim in Sodom, you should not punish Sodom. Tahino Aidei Tzaro. Because if tzaddik was in Sodom, you should save everybody for the sake of that tzaddik. L'zeh efshar kivnu kazal mispala achaver b'hutarach lo sudavar hunan atzkila. B'yiro dafka im hatzfil hi al derech zu. Specifically, if you're davening like this, shehutarach lo sudavar, az hunan atzkila u'bizchuso al tzarucha gam l'achir. Oh, meaning if you're davening for somebody else, Aaron, you asked me about this. If you're davening for somebody else properly, so Hashem is going to say that you may merit to be absolved from this pain which you're having for somebody else. The only way that you can be absolved from your pain that you have for somebody else is to help somebody else. That's what it means when Hashem says, when it says that you should daven for your friend, it's because you might have this chuyos that will put your friend out of his misery because it'll put you out of your misery. If you're really upset about what's going on with your friend, so then the only way to make you no longer upset is by helping the friend, is by Hashem saving your friend. V'im kein mevorim Yushev says the Maharam Sheik, and this is the most operative part of it, HaTorah lo asra ela militin elokut l'shem nivra. What the problem is, even for the Rambam, is to attribute godly abilities to a malach. Afilu malach, even to a malach, v'lachein asra lihispalel elehem. You should not daven to them, directly to Hashem, lisu tov v'avarenu, that they should daven our behalf. Shebezen noskun kachus usraos. You think that they have some kind of power that they could daven and change things for you? They can't change anything. Lo chenem espalas kfaros ha-tzadikim. That's not what it means when you go to Kibre Tzadikim. Shebezen v'adenu, and they should daven for us. Ein nosnein lahem sraos bezeh. We're not giving them any ability. Ela modia tzaro lahem shesari emo. We're just letting them know how difficult it is for us, the pain that we're going through, so that they can recognize that pain and daven for us also. The idea is that v'tzarom yachuas chualos v'shebiz chusam yirachem Hashem. Hashem is going to have rachamim on you because they're going to daven and be in pain for you. V'alkein ein lanu makom lasher tefilah. You should therefore not get rid of this davening. So ad kan we have, you shouldn't daven to malachim. You should rather daven directly to Hashem. However, you could join into the zechuyos. The zechuyos of the deceased, that's the Ber Hetiv, or alternatively, you can make them in pain by davening near them and letting them know what's going on, so that they will ultimately bring forth some kind of salvation for us, because they will they'll feel that pain. Hashem won't want them to be in pain. Not that they're going to daven, literally. Just as an aside and a sort of a conclusion here, unless you're really doing so for the sake or with the conjunction of the tzaddikim, there are other problems with davening by a kever. I got the shayla on Sunday. Someone called me and said, or texted me and said, that they're at a funeral right now, and somebody there needs to daven but needs to leave. They won't be able to get to a minyan. Are they allowed to daven at the cemetery? The truth is, you're not allowed to daven at the cemetery. That's the halacha right here, source number 15. Lo yihalech v'yitzek kvaros obezot da'ot amos shal meisim mitzvilim b'rosho. You should not walk into a cemetery wearing tefillin. Mishum loy lagrash. Loy lagrash. What does loy lagrash mean? Mocking the poor. Technically, the poor. They're rush from the mitzvahs. Right? They're poor from mitzvahs. Yeah, it's poor, but it's but they don't have any mitzvahs. V'im heim mechusim mutar. If, however, they're covered, meaning the tefillin, so then it'll be okay. Similarly, loy ha'alech v'esek varas o b'toch ha'aram shalmeis o shal kever v'sefer Torah b'Israel. You shouldn't hold the sefer Torah near them. Or a sefer, v'yikrabo, and to read it, o yispal, or to daven. You should not daven within 4 amos of a kever. V'hu adin al peh, asr l'kros, you can't even do it by heart. Elim kein l'chvor hameis, unless it has something to do with the honor of the deceased. Presumably, if you're going to a kever hameis for the sake of davening on your own behalf to Hashem, so then that's a couplet to the meis too. That's what I would think. That you are linking to their merit, which is essentially saying that I think you have zechuyos. That's a couplet hameis. You're not really davening to the mace, you're not davening for the mace, but your davening is relevant to giving honor to the mace. That's what I would sort of colloquially say it, although maybe I'm misinterpreting it or manipulating it to make it more flexible for people that do it. At the end of the day, this question that people asked me about davening at the cemetery was not for the sake of the mace, was not bolstered by the mace, in which case I told them they can't daven within Dalet Amos of the mace. As long as you go to the parking lot or something like that, you should be okay. That was the psak I gave him, and that's the sugya. You can't dive into a dead body. You can't dive into anyone who's deceased, even though they're the tzaddikim. And even when it comes to the tzaddikim, you have to be careful how you phrase your requests for them to dive in for you. As we saw from Maharam Shik, it's not as clear, but the Maharal is actually okay with it because it's a very different thing. When they do a chesed for you, that's not like you're asking them to change the world, and that you're giving them any kind of power. just that they have just as much power as you do, just that they might be do it better. So either way, so is it justifiable to go to a kever meis? Yes, as long as you're doing it in the proper way, with the proper perspective that you're not doing it, you're not davening to them or for them, but you're davening with them, I should say, either with their zchuyos or with their pain, so that your prayers are answered too. Or as it's on the Bach, because that place is the holy place, it also allows your davening to be answered more. But it has nothing to do with davening to them or asking them to daven for you.
Can you not face them?
You should face east. Just like here's the bottom. Okay, Shkaya.